first we didn't plan on anything specific. We're looking for the best way to share this work to the greatest population, and quickly became obvious that doing it through a nonprofit will open up some doors, such as working with schools or school districts, hopefully in the future prisons and such. So that's why we decided to open a nonprofit, yeah, to create a nonprofit.
This mental health advocate is here looking to change the world. My name is Vincent A. Lancey, and welcome back to A Mental Health Break. I'm excited to bring on today's guest. Not only is he very accomplished, he's very passionate about this field. He's the founder and director over at Emotional Health Institute, or EHI. It's a nonprofit committed to improving the quality of human life by tapping into the revolutionary technique of emotional resolution, which helps with trauma healing and emotional well-being. Everyone out there, you are not alone. Cedric is here to help to explain all about what he does and how he helps in that capacity, as well as why some emotional difficulties stick to us and keep on haunting us, how emotions are made, understanding the human psyche, and getting to the root of emotions in order to take control of our well-being. We're going to learn all about MRES and so much more. I'm excited for this, Cedric. Thanks so much for taking the time to join our community of mental health champions.
Thank you, Vincent. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity.
You're bringing on a unique topic. I really try to bring as many different perspectives relating to mental health on the show as I can, because you never know which part of someone's journey can help someone the most. I want to start out.
That's right.
I know that this didn't just happen overnight. You previewed the nonprofit, but what wanted you to come into the mental health world to begin with? Share that story for our audience.
Yeah, I think there's three major factors for me. Number one, as a kid, I was very anxious, extremely anxious, a lot of anger, self-directed anger. As a young kid and then later on teenager, young adult, I learned to control it and bottle it down, but it was still working inside. So I was always looking for different things to help myself, psychedelics, psychotherapy, I mean, you name it, you know, we all go for our own path, I guess. Then the second thing was working for the Ritz-Carlton. I was lucky enough to be director of restaurants, so I had 250 people underneath me, and you could clearly see that very, very quick that you don't manage people, you manage emotions. So it's so sure, yes, you work with people, but you mostly work with their emotions. You have to see who work well with whom, how to talk to them, how to what to do to make them thrive. So emotion became very an interest of mine. And then the third thing is my grandfather. My grandfather passed away a couple of months ago. He was 101 almost. It was
God
a World
bless.
War II. Thank you. It was a World War II resistant. We call that in France the Maquis. That means he was hiding in the mountain, receiving, you know, messages from London or other, and then go do some actions. I mean, him and people from his generations, I always was fascinated with how resilient they were after the war. They went, they fought, they were 18, 19 years old, right? And they got shot at. I mean, it was a war, obviously. And I was always fascinated in how people from this generation were so resilient compared, not judging here, but compared to people who have similar experiences today. What was the difference? My grandfather never went to psychotherapy. He never went to Tony Robbins. I mean, none of this, right? But what I understood is after World War II, men started working together, either in factories or for my grandfather in the woods. So they were working together, never talking about war, but sharing the same experience, being in nature very often, and they had a sense of purpose. So for me, it was clear that there is an inner capacity for complete resilience within each one of us. And the fact of the matter is, nowadays, people that come from any kind of traumatic event, their environment is not conducive to tapping into our inner resilience, because we're isolated, because we have to work it's just the environment is such that it's not conducive to inner resilience. So the idea is, what can we do to tap into this capacity for inner resilience, the more naturally, for as many people as we can. And this is how we created MRES, emotional resolution.
Thank you for sharing all that. I always learn so much from each guest. And that's very interesting that you took the comparison of what was the difference in the resiliencies? How did we get there? And you're certainly right. The environment now, there's a lot of stressors. There are a lot of factors that prevent us from tapping into this inner resilience, but you previewed it for me. That's what led you to MRES. Let's talk more about it.
Yep. And MRES is, the idea of MRES is, from what we understand today about how the brain constructs emotion, how can we help the brain, support the brain in deconstructing, in resolving debilitating emotional patterns? So MRES is a blend of the top neuroscience information that we have today and a mix, I would say, of philosophies from Spinoza to Epicure to Merleau-Ponty to Gilles Deleuze in France. Like it's a mix of philosophy and neuroscience. And the idea is, how can we cut through the chase? How can we resolve disruptive emotional pattern the fastest and the most natural way possible?
And that's what led you here. How, in the beginning, was your mental health focus the same? Has it evolved in what your specific focus is? Because I know as businesses grow, things some change. But with your passion for mental health, I'm anxious to hear how it evolved.
You mean in the way that we work with people nowadays? Yeah, we work with from complex PTSD to depression to anxiety to anger. It's very wide. So is MRES working for everybody? No, of course not. Nothing works for everybody, but it works, I would say, for a large majority of people we're working with. And I would say in my practice, it's mostly I have mostly anxieties, anger, and PTSD.
Did you were always open to all types of healing, or you were just focused on PTSD in the beginning or anxiety?
All type of healing, because the way the brain constructs emotion is always the same. Doesn't matter if you went through a rape, being bullied, or something that you don't remember. The way that the brain constructs emotion and the way that the brain can deconstruct them is the same, no matter what.
Thank you for sharing that. That's really given me a lot of inspiration here now to check out all this after the show. We'll circle back to the end, but what is your website where we can find out more about this for our listeners who want to click pause?
Yep. So there is two websites, emotionalhealthinstitute.org or mres.com. It works as well. And cedricbertilli.com. That's my personal one.
Thank you for sharing all that. I now want to stress again, everyone out there, what works for some doesn't work for everyone. There's always a lot of tools out there. We just learned about MRES. What are some other tools that work for you to improve your mental health, Cedric?
I think for me, what works best is working in nature. It sounds a bit cliche, but working in nature, no music, nothing, especially in the woods, for me is the best medicine.
I love taking walks throughout the day. As many others, I'm staring at this screen for much of the day. Taking a walk with my phone on silent, taking in the natural sounds and the sunlight. The sunlight always gives me a little bit of a boost anyway, but I'm glad you shared that. Everyone, take some time to get outside, even if it's just for a few minutes. You'll feel the wonders right then and there. We've talked about so much in just a little bit of time, but I've still got more questions for this amazing guest. Are you going to keep working on MRES throughout this year? Are we expanding it in new areas? What can we expect with this?
So MRES is constantly expanding. It's a body of work. So it's not a protocol. It's not a technique. It's a methodology. And it's different. We have a lot of tools, so to speak, in how to get this natural capacity for emotional resolution to happen so we can help as many people as possible. So we keep on developing tools. We try to make them simpler, even more respectful, performing as good as we can constantly. And the EHI, the Emotional Health Institute, started working in Japan last year. So we're going to expand in Japan this year a bit more. The US is growing and France is also growing. So it's in motion. And we have a couple of studies going on, one with UCLA, one in Lyon, France as well. So doing more clinical studies, more session, developing and learning.
What are you focusing on in these studies?
So the one in UCLA is specifically for healthcare professionals, residents, from ER departments and working on anxiety that might lead to burnout. So that's the focus of the study in UCLA. The study in France, in Lyon, is about GI issues and the impact of PTSD or trauma on GI issues. Basically, you know, 75% of people who have GI issues or pelvic floor pain, pelvic pain, there is no biological reason for them to have this pain or those issues. Most of them is psychosomatic, is trauma related. So we are showing the impact of MRS.
What is GI for everyone out there who's not familiar?
Gastrointestinal.
Okay, I mean, you've really given us so much on this episode. I'm excited to keep learning more and watching MRES as it goes along. Resilience is something that even in building a business as an entrepreneurship, you need to have it. And if you give up, that's the difference between the successful entrepreneurs and the ones who aren't. What are some ways that you've found inside you to be more resilient in those times where it was just easy to give up, things aren't going well, you're down in the dumps? How did you find a way to pull through?
Yeah. A couple of things. I think number one is using MRES on myself, which is when there's a blockage, when I feel anxious or fearful, I stop and I get in. And I do what I teach, right? You gotta walk the talk. So that's the first thing I do. I clear up my stuff. And the second thing is I pause and I go back on the whiteboard, right? I reevaluate everything and I try to question my belief. So many times I went for something 100% like a bull because it was fitting in my belief, and to realize that, oh yeah, my belief wasn't the truth. So stop, put everything back on the table, look at things, question my belief, and try to start fresh.
I love that. Getting centered with yourself is so important. And the busy life we all live, go, 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 getting centered, like he's saying. It's, of course, easier said than done. When tough times come, they're tough times. But we've learned a few new outlets today that can improve your mental health. He shared them all. Something else that also works for me, as everyone knows, is writing. Do you have any books out here? I know you're doing a lot of studies. Have you ever gone and also written a book?
So we didn't write a book. We have one of our practitioners pull a book of case study out, which is called, I will get you the name, the exact name in the notes. But we didn't write a book yet. We didn't write a book yet because it's constantly evolving. And if we put something by written now, I mean, in a month or two, it would be obsolete. So we decided to wait a little bit. And even more, you know, in a few years, we will consider it. But it's too early, yeah.
That's interesting. So all the research and all the studies you're completing, it's a continued science. When is there a defined end goal with these studies to improve mental health, or are we just going to keep going? Explain that to us.
I think we're going to keep on going. It's a fascinating field, and it's always evolving. We understand more and more. So it's going to keep on going. And I think when we'll find a methodology that satisfies us completely, which I don't know if we will ever, but we might put it on paper, but not yet. Things are evolving, growing, getting easier. So we keep on working.
Well, thanks for the inspiration. Thanks for sharing all these mental health tips for everyone out there to improve today, introducing us to MRES. And of course, right back in the beginning, as I'm reading the notes for when we go live, the resilience level differences across generations. And I think that was a really unique perspective where we can adapt some lessons learned from that time period to come more to our true authentic selves today. One more time, where we can find you online.
So online, you can go to MRES, EMRES.com, or Cedric, my name, CedricBertelli.com.
Thank you for sharing that. Everyone, be sure to go check out all he has to offer. If you enjoyed this episode, please tap the subscribe button to the Mental Health Break podcast. Or if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to this channel for another great episode. The show is at A Mental Health Break podcast on Instagram, A Mental Health Break on LinkedIn and Facebook. And of course, I am at Vincent A. Lancey on all social media, including this YouTube channel. If you're looking to launch a podcast, we would love to talk with you. Reach out to Danica at podcastsbylancey@gmail.com to learn more. And with that, we are signing off today. Cedric, thanks very much again for joining our community of mental health advocates and champions.
Thank you so much, Vincent. Have a good day.